This is great. We serve a holy God. There's no doubt about it. I love that at the end. Holy, holy, right? That's the angels just worshiping God. Holy, holy, holy. It's such a beautiful thing for sure. A little different type of thing I'm going to do today with when I'm preaching. I do have allergy time right now, so I'm a little hoarse at times, so kind of bear with me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to reference, I could have talked a long time about what I'm going to be talking about. So what I did is I stripped it down and I'm going to reference sections of the Bible. And I'm going to leave it up to you guys to, if you feel like something you want to learn more about, go back to those sections and read about it. I am going to use some specific scriptures, but mostly it's going to be sections. So just so you know, write them down, check them out. It is definitely worth reading about for sure, especially in this time period. Last week, Malcolm was saying that there are different seasons, right? There's different seasons. There's times when we're supposed to be moving forward, times when we're supposed to be moving backwards. There's times of war. There's times of peace. There's times to listen, and there's times to talk, right? So it's really important that we understand this, and we look to God to figure out when those times are right, especially during the current times with this pandemic. I really do not have a sense that after we get through the pandemic, that we're going to just go right back to normal. You know, it's not all going to disappear. There's going to be some fallout from all this. And I have an uneasiness in my spirit when I think of what's coming ahead, and it's not fear, but it's an uneasiness. And I believe God is allowing that uneasiness to be in there to me so that I don't get lazy. I don't want to be lazy, and God doesn't want me to go into a slumber and instead keep my mind active, so I keep being prepared, you know, that He wants us to be prepared all the time for what's coming up ahead, just so that we're not caught off guard, you know? And there's a lot to be said for that. And whether this is the beginning of end times, you can make an argument for that, or if it's just some random event in this history that we're in, there's going to be a fallout from this. And God has been telling me, give people a message of hope through preparation. There's a preparation. There's a knowledge he wants us to know, right? Part of that is understanding how God works and believing he wants what's best for us. He really does. He wants what's best for us. And sometimes we're in situations and we don't really believe that sometimes. Sometimes we think that that's not happening, you know, that he's forgotten about us or maybe we're not strong enough to do things that he wants us to do. Well, today what I'm going to talk about is gaining strength from God, right? And understanding how God works. Not how man thinks he works, but how he works through what's written in the Bible, demonstration, what he says, how he works, right? So God's thinking is so different from us. And we have to remember that. We forget that a lot of times, you know. And when I was growing up, a group of friends would go to a ball field, an ice rink, a basketball court. And what would happen is we would decide on two players to kind of choose the teams. And usually they were like the two best players or the more dominant players of the team, right? And the reason we did that is because we didn't want the team to be too strong, right? Like, we didn't want the two best players on the same team because the other teams wouldn't have a chance. So we split them up, right? So we gave two players, one on each team, and then they chose who was going to be on their team. And what would happen is most of them would choose the next best player, not their best friend a lot of times, but their best player. And then the other person would take a turn, and they would choose the best player, the next best player. And it would go on and on until we got down to the end, right? Nobody wanted to be that last couple people at the end, you know? And because it kind of meant that those two people really felt like you weren't the strongest player, right? And that's just how it went, you know. And until that last player was picked, who was usually the weakest at the sport. And this strategy, I mean, this strategy makes sense to us, you know. It really does. It's the best way to get the best team, really. Well, God does not do that. He doesn't think like us, right? We see time after time in the Bible, God choosing the weaker person, the person who struggles, who has difficulties, and then somehow gives them the strength to accomplish the purpose he has for them. And we got to remember that, right? That's how God works, not how man works. This does not mean that he will let us go through difficult times to accomplish the purpose. Man, we read the Bible. There are plenty of times where he calls on people and then they go through some incredible difficulties, sad situations that I sit there and I go, wow, if he calls on me, I don't want to be in that situation because I don't know if I can do that, you know? But he is there in the midst, and he's always guiding them through these difficulties. And he never leaves them as long as they continue to pursue his purpose. So as long as they're praying to him and thinking about him and asking him for guidance, he is always there. And as long as they're going in his purpose. Now, if we deviate from his purpose, that may not happen, right? God may step away and say, hey, you want to do your own thing? And we see that in the Bible too. You can do your own thing. But guess what? I'm not going to be there kind of coddling you. There's going to be some difficulties because of that. So we can see that in the Bible often with that. So if we go to 1 Kings 19, 4 through 8, this is actually a particular scripture I'm going to kind of say, but I'm going to kind of summarize it, right? So we see Elijah in this section. If you want to go back and read it sometimes, just do it. But 19, 4 through 8, 1 Kings. We see Elijah, he's feeling defeated and actually wanted to die at that moment, you know, during this time period. He was just beaten down. He didn't think, that his life was worth anything anymore, right? But God rose him up to go on and do great things. And that's what you're going to see as a theme here. In Judges 6, write it down, right? I'm not going to go through it, but Judges 6, you know, Gideon, he was a fearful man. He was a fearful man. And it mainly because he felt that his clan was weak. But God instructed him to do certain actions, which Gideon actually did, right? And because he did that and he was listening to God, he was able to take down Baal's altar, right? So if he hadn't been listening to God and following his instruction, that wouldn't have happened. But he did, and he accomplished the purpose that God put forth on him, right? He also required signs that God actually provided, right? So for him, he struggled with belief sometimes, and he would ask God, like, show me something, do something, and God actually answered him, which is pretty cool. And, you know, a lot of times people say, well, you're not supposed to question God or, you know, do stuff that to God. But God wants to, he knows what's in our heart. If we're struggling, he knows we're struggling. So even if we say we're not struggling, he's going to know we're struggling. So you might as well just say it, ask him, you know, don't be afraid to ask him. So anyways, and you know what? And it's pretty cool, you know, that he was able to do that, you know? So in Exodus, we learn that Moses, he couldn't speak well, and he really did not want to do what God wanted. Even with his excuses, God did not let him off the hook. You know, he made all kinds of excuses, and he didn't He didn't feel like he was the one that's supposed to be leading. So what did God do then? He provided Aaron, right? He took Aaron and he to help him, and he gave him a helper. They led the people out of Egypt because of this, right? So again, we can see that the people that God chooses don't have it all together. They're struggling. They have issues, right? And First Samuel, we see Samuel searching for a new king. You know, you would think that he would choose the strongest of Jesse's sons. But did he do that? No, because God said to him, do not look at the physical appearance, but look at the heart. There was something more important about the heart of a person than their physical appearance. God recognizes what he wants us to do and how to act. He knew that he could shape David much more than the strongest physical person, you know? And God led David and he, you know, defeated Goliath and he became king, and he was a strong and powerful king. And David knew where his strength came from, right? So in Psalms 28:6, he says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's like whenever we're in situations, you know, we got to say praise the Lord, right? Like that should be number one. For he heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and shield. He knew that the Lord was where he was going to get his strength. I trust him with all my heart. Trust is so important. If you're going to get called to be stronger than what you physically or mentally are capable of doing, you got to recognize and trust in the Lord that if he's telling you to do something, that he's going to give you something more than you ever thought possible to accomplish that. It's incredible, really. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in song of thanksgiving. It's just, you know, there's so much said about, you know, like God being there for people doing extraordinary things outside of their normal. But he really likes it when we give him praise and thanksgiving after. And he always wants worship. He wants us to appreciate what he's doing for us. And that's part of the jealous God that I talked about before. He just loves that we're pursuing him. And he wants that from us, right? So I'm going to talk about three particular parts of what makes us get strength from God. How does God put strength in us, right? And the first one I'm going to talk about is the Holy Spirit. And we, again, you know, I talked about the Holy Spirit just a little while ago. We were talking about discernment, right? We were talking about discernment and the Holy Spirit giving us discernment, when to do things, when not to do things, really having that clarity. But the Holy Spirit isn't one-dimensional. He's multifaceted. And he's going to give us strength as well, right? And Acts 2, I mean, the whole book of Acts is really about how the disciples all of a sudden go into ministry so much more and with more faith and more strength and more miracles and more power, right? So in Acts 2, we see God intervening in the apostles, right? There's something different that's going to happen here. At first, there was many times of denial and fear until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It isn't until that happened that all of a sudden they had strength and power. And it says that throughout that whole section. So read Acts 2 especially. Once that happened, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and their strength and speaking with boldness and performing miracles just started happening more and more. So we've got to really make sure that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you haven't accepted the Holy Spirit and God bestowed that on you, then you really want to get to that point where that can happen. Because without it, we lose power. And we're going to harness power through the Holy Spirit and his guidance, okay? So that's the first one. And we can see that in Acts 4 as well, 4:8. It says, then Peter, what's the next part? Filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the key point, right? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. It has, you know, Peter can't do this on his own. If he isn't filled with the Holy Spirit, he ain't going to be able to do what comes up next, right? So filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? So he's saying to them, do you want to know how he was healed, right? And right now, Peter's getting some boldness because before, Peter would have denied, right? He denied Christ when they asked about it before. But now he's saying, hey, you want to know how we healed this crippled man? Well, this is how it's done, right? He got a boldness. He's speaking boldly, right? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed. How? By the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. Wow. So not only are they out there doing miracles, but they have a boldness of speaking, a boldness of saying where their power is coming from. There's no more denial. You're not going to see denial after the Holy Spirit enters them, right? So keep that in mind, right? All right. The second thing that I want to kind of talk about, other than the Holy Spirit, is God's grace is power. And I believe Marie had sent out a devotional this week. I can't remember which one, but it talked about this a little bit. And it's funny, I was working on this beforehand, and then there it was, right? There it was, in the morning I'm reading this stuff, and it was just amazing. So pretty cool. Another confirmation from God. I always love that. It makes me feel at ease when I'm going to be talking about this stuff. Again, how God is working in a person who typically is nervous speaking, but again, giving strength to me. It's just crazy. But anyways, we can see this in 2 Timothy 2:1, right? So Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus, right? So he's saying, like, listen, you're going to harness strength because God's so graceful. And grace is not only about forgiveness, it's about power, right? And sometimes we get power through forgiveness, by God's forgiveness, right? We can feel his mercy, knowing that if we mess up and we do something on our own, he's there. He's going to give us more power, more forgiveness than we ever thought, right? And then Paul, speaking in 1 Corinthians 15:9-10, he's going to say, for I am the least of all the apostles, right? So we know Paul. I mean, Paul was powerful, really. I mean, once he got converted, he was crazy powerful. But he's saying, like he's the least of the apostles, right? He recognizes, like, you know, he's a humble man, you know. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle, right? And that's how I feel a lot of times. Like, I'm not worthy to be here telling you guys this stuff. Definitely not, for sure. And I'm sure a lot of you feel the same way. Like, I'm not worthy to go and talk to my best friend, my family member about this stuff. I'm not worthy, you know. But that's not true, right? Like, and we're going to see that. He says, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. He did some nasty stuff, right? He did some nasty stuff to God's people. But whatever I am now, right? So he's saying, like, now it's a whole different ballgame. It is all because God poured out his special favor on me, right? What is God's grace? Special favor, it's strength, it's power, it's forgiveness, it's all of that, right? And not without results, right? Why did God do that? He did that for a purpose. There was going to be a result, right? So I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace, by his grace. So we can see God's grace is power. It really is. It's power. So we have the Holy Spirit, right? We're filled with the Holy Spirit. That power comes from that. God's grace, power comes from that, right? The third one is faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. These are the three that God gave me. I could have given you a ton more, but these are the three that he's saying, right? Philippians 4:13. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, right? So he's saying it's through the faith in Christ. That's the only way he's going to be able to do what he needs to do. It's so important to understand this. In Mark 9:23, Jesus says, what do you mean, if I can? Right? He's questioning, if I can, obviously, right? Jesus asked that, right? He says, anything is possible if a person believes, right? So we can see that belief is like super important. Without belief, you lose strength. And we don't want to lose strength. We want to keep our strength, especially during these times and times that we're going to be facing ahead. This is preparation, people. This is preparation. God's saying, be prepared. Get your strength on. Train your spirit like you would if I was going to go to the gym and work out, get my physical stature in better shape. Well, we better be getting our strength and our spiritual strength in better shape. We better be working that out every day, every moment, right? Psalm 112, 7 through 8. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. How are they going to face their foes triumphantly? By faith and trust in the Lord, right? Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He is there for us. We got to believe this more than lip service. We can't just say it and not believe it. We got to believe it tooth and nail, right? Like we got to believe it in our soul, in our spirit. We need to be confident in his love for us. We got to be confident in the grace that God gives us. We got to be confident that when the Holy Spirit guides us, he's guiding us the right way, right? So I'm going to go back to that child that was picked last on our team, right? This is a two-part little story about the basketball team or the hockey team or whatever team that we're kind of doing, right? Once that person realizes that they're going to be picked last, right? They have a decision to make at that moment, right? And I saw this happen time and time when we were playing as kids. They have a decision to either feel defeated, accepting everyone else's opinion of them, and go in not believing in themselves. So they're going to go into the sport not believing in themselves. I've seen that a lot of times where the kid goes out there, he's playing, but he doesn't even believe in himself, so definitely he's not going to play well, right? And some of them will believe the opinions of all the others so much so that they'll quit even before they try. They'll quit. They'll be like, hey, if I'm the last one picked, they obviously don't like me and they don't think I'm any good. So why am I even going to play? There's really no point in playing, right? And so that's a decision that they have to make, right? Or they can decide to show the others and the captains and all the other players on a team that those people made a mistake, right? That they made a mistake. And they're going to work harder than anyone else and play better than anybody ever thought. I always think like the person on the team that is the weakest on the team will determine how good of a team you have depending on their attitude. If the weakest person on one team is stronger than the other team, that's going to make that team a lot stronger. I really feel like that in my heart and soul. And people underestimate how important that is. They may be weaker, but they can prove something, right? They have a decision to make. We all have decisions to make, right? And that's what I'm saying here through this example. Are we going to let the devil continue to win and make us feel defeated or possibly even quit, right? So the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, and you say, God, I don't think I can. I'm the last person that I think qualified for this. I have no skill in this. And then just quit. Wow. Think about that for a little bit. Do you want to quit on God when he's telling you, don't worry about it, right? I got your back, right? So we might quit. Or he'll silence us. Or are we going to believe in God to rise us up, to strengthen us, right? To strengthen us so much that we can show others what can be accomplished with God leading us. That's the choice we have. We have that choice right now. Every day we run into these type of choices, some days more than others. And I'm just thinking about my sister right now. She's in the midst of it right now. She's working at a nursing home. There's 37 out of whatever, 79, 78 people there, residents there that have COVID right now. She's seeing people die, people suffer, and some of them are okay. But she's in the midst of it. And she's made for a time like this. God has put her there for a purpose. Other people are walking away quitting. Some people are out because they gotten sick. But she is still there. And she is there for a purpose. And I was trying to tell her the other day, like listen, God is not going to fail you. He is there for a purpose. So, Jesse, you know, God is there for a purpose. Now, I'm not going to say it's not going to be difficult because we already talked about that. We see difficult times and trying times. We've seen the apostles go to jail, and we've seen people make mistakes and all that great stuff, and bad things happen. But still, God is always there, and you've got to believe that with all your heart and soul. And that wasn't part of my message, but I feel like the Holy Spirit is giving that as a prime example, right? So you know, have faith. Stay strong. You're going to go through difficult times. You're going to question God. You're gonna have a hard struggle at times, and an emotional times when you're sad and feel defeated. But don't let that win. Don't be that last kid pick that gives up. You be strong and do what the Holy Spirit is telling you. And if you do the Holy Spirit tells you, you're going to be great. I know it, and I feel it in my soul. I believe it with all my heart. So with all that being said, let the grace of God, the faith of Christ, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, give us the spiritual strength to do extraordinary actions in difficult situations, in scary situations, in times where we would say, I can't do this. Get this in your head for in the future, and to fulfill God's purpose for us. Three essences, right? Christ, Holy Spirit, and God, right? Three essences, right? One powerful God. One powerful God taking a weak, fearful, humble servant to perform tasks that require strength, confidence, unwavering faith we never thought possible. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Three essences and one powerful God taking a weak, fearful, humble servant to perform tasks that require strength, confidence, and unwavering faith we never thought possible. Fulfilling God's purpose. Do never underestimate God's power to fulfill his purpose. Don't do it. Stay strong. Have faith. Believe it with all your heart. I can't say this enough. This is so important. Very important preparation coming down the road, right? There is a fallout coming a little bit here. Whether it goes one way or the other, we got to be strong. We got to believe. We may be in a situation like my sister is in. We might be in a worse situation. Who knows what's going to come? We may be in a better situation and we're still fearful. Doesn't matter. We got to stay strong in Christ for God's purpose, right? So I'm going to summarize this in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need." Do we believe that? Do we believe that? I ask myself this stuff all the time. Don't think I ain't questioning myself with all this stuff. This is a message for me just as much as it is for you. My grace is all you need. My power works best in the weakest. My power works best in the weakest. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. It just hits me so hard to hear those words. Because I am weak, but he is strong. He believes in us. And we need to believe that more than ever before. One last time, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. I just hope that this message really hits you. I'm praying that this message hits you the way it hit me. I pray that we can truly believe this message. I pray that we fend off any devil attacks, any evil ones attacks, spirits that try to make us not believe this. You're so beautiful, God, and we love you and thank you. We know you're working. We put our faith in you. We know tomorrow is not promised to us. But we love and know that you're going to be there for us, whether we're here on earth or up with you. We thank you and love you. In your name, amen.